Good morning, everybody. My name is Mike. I'm from Fort Chip. Some call it the Ground Zero, it's a sacrifice zone. We're directly downstream from the tar sands, down the river. Everything that's coming, that they're spewing out, is where it's Chip is feeling the effects. The effects will go into the animals, into the water, trees, the land. Everything else is pretty well gone from there. When it gets to the people, then we know something's wrong. One of the first signs I know one of the elders told me was that the muskrat, it's a water animal, and all of a sudden they're gone. They're not along the region anymore. They pretty much packed up and left, is what I was told. Something was coming down that stream that made them not want to live in that area anymore. There's other places that they can find them, but there's nowhere near where the river comes up. And that's one of the things that we're facing. That's one of the resources that they had was from the land. And now it's the fish. This summer they found the two-mouthed fish, which was mutated. Could be from the tar sands. Could it be from the uranium mines that are around there? That just brings me on another thing was uranium. They're opening up mines 15 miles from our reserve, and the river goes right into the Richardson Lake area, which goes into the Athabasca River, which goes into Lake Athabasca, which goes right by Fort Chip. How I'm directly affected by this, it's my family has no known cancers in it. This year I buried my auntie. She died from cancer. A couple of years ago I buried my uncle. My uncle Tony Mercury, brought up the issue in 1992 with the water issue against what was happening with the tar sands, what the tar sands was doing to Fort Chip. And he fell victim to this. He died from it. He basically died fighting with it. He didn't tell the family what he died from. He didn't tell the family that he was sick. The family only found out, just all of a sudden everybody finds out he's in his deathbed. And it was from the effects of the tar sands. Because we know there's no known cancers in our family. And presently I got an auntie right now living with cancer. And she's, you know, pretty much, she's not in her deathbed yet, but she's getting pretty close. So, with that, that's how I am affected by this. To tell you a little bit about myself, I used to work in tar sands. I used to drive their trucks. So I was in their mines. I see what they do. I see what these things do. And when I'm finding out that they're burying my people, like in a year I'm hearing about how many deaths happened, and I'm sitting in there going, I'm part of this problem. You know, what can be done? What can we do? So I quit. I just left. They actually thought I was crazy. I walked off the job and I said, I quit. I said, I'm done. And when you're leaving site, that you go through this desk and you got to hand in your badge in and your badge out. And I handed my badge back and I told the boss that I quit. I'm not coming back. And he just laughed. He chuckled. He said, in their mentality, it's Syncrude Canada. They're Canada's number one company to work for. Because they got a lot of money and everyone gets their benefits up the yin yang from there. He laughed at me and said, I'll see you tomorrow night. And I said, no, you won't. He says, well, he kind of gave me back my badge because I had to use it to get through the gate. So when I got through the gate, I just threw the badge away. They called me up and gave me 3 chances to come back, and I turned all of them down. And I basically told them to go F themselves. They said that they were going to have a termination hearing. I told them to go ahead and have it. So they waited and waited and waited, and I called them and I said, you guys are all listening? I said, I quit. What part of this do you need to understand? And then they still didn't get it, you know. Then they said, oh, we got this program to help you out if you got issues, and we'll put you through it and give you your job back. I said, no, I don't want it back. I said, well, which part of I quit don't you get? So to them, it's like, well, you're here. What's the problem? There's an issue. Yeah, there is an issue. You guys are the issue. So when I left there, they basically said, well, what are you going to do now? I said, I don't know. I'm going to make sure I don't come back here. I'm burning my bridges from here. And I hope that I'm blacklisted now. And that guy said, pretty much. Blacklisted means that none of the other plants will hire you unless you can get in with the contract company. But to work directly with a company, that's kind of a hard thing to do. Downstream, when I thought about it earlier, I was thinking about this morning, I live downstream because the river flows that way. And we feel the effects. And when I'm looking at this thing right here, downstream now means that everyone else is affected. Down the pipe stream, the pipe goes down south and flows out of here. And it's not only that, it's sad that I'm here today. It's sad that I have to come here and speak on this. You know, I shouldn't have to do this. This shouldn't have to be happening. We should not have to be meeting here like this. Although it's a good thing, it's a positive thing, but why am I here? Why am I here to tell you what's going on? Why do I have to be here to tell you that my people are dying? The sacrifice zone, Fort Chip, it's came in the news lately a lot because of what was going on. And the exposure and the media attention is, I think, is, you know, it's good. At least his word is getting out. And for people like me to have to come as a youth and say that people younger than me are dying, that I just buried one this year, one of our community members, it's sad. I'm living in an area where people around me are dying. And I just moved back to Fort Chip last year to go work for our First Nations. In a sense, when I was put there, it was to work against what's going on. And at first, I didn't understand the work. And what I do is I gather traditional environment knowledge from our elders and our current land users to see who's still using the land, what was there, and what we're losing. And there's a big area where Syncrude once sat, where it's sitting right now. And they're telling me about spots in that area where they used to have medicine patches, places where they can't go anymore because there's no trees in there. And I heard Jim Carter on the radio the other day, and it totally pissed me off. Like, it really peed me off when he said that we reclaimed a lot of land, we reclaimed a lot of area, and we're making the land better than it was before. You know, and I'm just like, I got furious when he said that. And this is one of the things they try to say, oh, traditional Western science is going to save us, you know. But they're producing faster than they can reclaim. And this is one of the things that they asked for a moratorium, was that if you can prove to me that your reclamation works, then, you know, by all means, maybe we can work this out. But it hasn't. I put this question forward saying that, okay, you guys claim that you got reclaimed area, but none of it's been recognized by the Alberta Environment. I brought that to them. A couple of months later, Alberta Environment approved it. Now, geez, I should have never said that, is what I thought. You know, because they were claiming it, but all of a sudden I just found out Alberta Environment didn't approve the reclamation area. But because they're feeling they're getting the heat from all this, what was going on, Alberta Environment turned around and approved them. 1%, I think less than 1% of an area that they've already taken out. The ground's been turned upside down, and the trees are gone, the waters are poisoned, animals are not coming back, the air is getting poisoned that we breathe, now the people are dying. The cycle is going on, and the cycle is spreading out. When I hear about what's happening with other First Nations and how tar sands is affecting them, it comes back to me, and I think, wow, is this where it starts and it ripples out? It starts from here, and the rest of the country and the rest of the continent now are feeling it. And other people are dying from the same thing. Like, how much people have to die? How many barrels of oil are worth one of our lives? It's sad to see that it's Fort Chip that has to take the brunt of this first thing and put them on the pedestal and say, the whole world has been coming to our doorstep and saying that, you guys need help, there's issues there. You know, we understand that, we've known that, we've been crying about it for the last 10 years. And only now that the media comes in and they caught on to it and the boom's happening, that everyone's getting on board and checking this out. I appreciate the fact that we're getting a lot of people to come in and support us, because when this thing happens, it's not just the First Nations. It's not just a First Nation problem. First Nations are the ones that are going to be taking the problem, because we're people of the earth and this is our responsibility. It's when the other people get affected. That's the thing. The earth is made up of four colors, four races. You break off one of those races and the color is broken, and more than likely the rest of the planet, the rest of the race, the rest of the human race is looking at their extinction. At the rate we're going, we are looking at our extinction. And in some sense, I welcome it. Because if our Earth is only taking so much, there's only so much she's going to take where she's going to start dying out and basically killing off what's killing her. If you think of our body and you think of the Earth, it's the same thing. Earth is made up of 80% or 60%, 70% water. So is our bodies. Water to the Earth is like blood to us. Water is being poisoned. People are dying. I can only repeat and say over again that they're dying. I've repeated this once, and I'm going to say it again, that it's slow industrial genocide. And Fort Trip is a sacrifice zone. How long? Fort Trip right now is known as the oldest settlement in Alberta, and that's what it's known for. Next is going to be known for the new dead zone. How many people, how long will they live for? People drink the water. I mean, they got to fly in their food. In my lifetime, I remember when I went out in the bush with my father, actually taking water out of the lake and drinking it. And at that time, I didn't think nothing of it. I remember in the winter taking water from the snow and melting it and then drinking that and thinking nothing of it. And now, we won't even do that. And elders said, they advise to eat one fish a week because of the high mercury content in the fish. One fish a week is like, if it's bad for 1 week, it's probably going to be bad no matter what. So if you take one fish, you think you can live on one fish a week? I don't think so. I can't. I mean, look at the size of me. I devour a fish in a day, you know. And any other animals, moose with cysts. Moose, some of the moose, like she said, there's well, at least one, say, out of 10 that has sores on it. I was doing interviews with some of the current land users, and the moose, they got around the area. They're actually, insides were soft. Like, they gutted it, and it was just basically soft. There was, like, no texture in it. And when they open it up, they can just see the different colors of stuff inside of it, and it was one. And then there was some other stuff that they found in the moose. Other animals were getting sick, you know, because like if a wolf kills a moose, right, he eats that and now he's infected. Now he gets his sickness. All of a sudden, now they're losing their fur. They're getting skinnier. And that's just like the coyotes, the scavengers, them too, the wolves, even the foxes, they got these things living in these, in the mines. And when I was working in the mine, they made this joke about seeing this animal, like a fox, it would hang around the pits. It would go to the trucks because people feed these things. They feed them off the trucks, the heavy hauler is really high, and it would stay around the pit area where trucks would pull up. And I was wondering, what's this fox doing here? There's nothing around here to eat. All this time he was waiting for me to throw out my food. And he was scavenging off of that. So somebody kind of made a joke and said, I'll give you $20 if you can hit that fox with the truck. I said, hey, I'll give you $100 if you can kill it. You'll be doing it a favor. You know, having it to live off you guys while you're feeding it out of your truck. I said, this is, you know, it's sad. That's sad that's for this animal to do that. And like was said before, the animals can't speak for themselves. We have to. Us as a dominant species, you know, should take some responsibility, and we're going to have to do that. And to go back to Fort Chip and the things that we're facing, I even worry about myself. I'm wondering about my health too. I moved back there in the last year, and like I was living in Fort McMurray, living in other places, and I didn't consume a lot of the traditional foods for a period, length of period of time, but when I was a kid, I did. That was the norm. You know, you had dry fish, you had dry meat, you had fish in the summer. You know, you got ducks in the fall time and in the spring, and you got the rabbits when they were plentiful and stuff like that, and moose in the spring or in the fall, and you got the caribou in the winter. You know, these things are, we got a question now, eating these things. And it's not just tar sands that we're facing now. Uranium. Uranium's in there too. And recently I heard there might be gold around the lake area, around in the north end of the shore, and there's the Canadian Shield. And diamonds further that. I mean, from all over Canada, learning for what's happening throughout the country. Canada, not only Fort Chip, Canada, the country itself, is being sacrificed for the rest of the world. We're losing our water, we're losing our trees, we're losing our forests, losing our animals. Now we're losing our people. When you're losing the human, this has to tell you one thing. If you can't get it, I mean, Jesus, you're better off dead. But some of us that do get it can come here and say, let's spread the message. You know, all we can do now is hopefully influence the next person to take up the stand, take up the fight. That's the only message I can do, is pass on the message that something's got to be done, something we have to do. Because we're running out of water, we're running out of air, and we're running out of time. I read a book once back, and I took a quote out of the book and put my own words in there. And what it was that the tar sands are deep, our people are small, and time is a relentless enemy. Tar sands sits under our feet, and they're coming to sweep it from under us, taking up everything. Everything they extract, it excretes a poison into the water, and we have to consume this. And the cycle's going around. And what goes around comes around. Now that these issues are being brought up, all of a sudden the economy is starting to go down, prices are falling, people are losing money. And I welcome that. I say that's good. Hopefully, it keeps going. In some sense, I know it'll be very bad in the long run, but hopefully keep going so we can all be brought to the same level. Because we're not all on the same level. We might be on the same page, but we're not on the same level. They've come to Fort Chip, and they've even dismissed a doctor that said something was going on. They had a flawed study. The study had holes in it. People that were actually sick didn't even get asked questions. They took data from past studies and compared it to a couple of things, and it was flawed all over. And nobody bought it, nobody believed them, and then they're going around saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with Fort Chip. It's a myth. It's a myth. This whole thing, it's a sham, it's just a big hype. When we had the water conference in Fort Chip, we had a wall which had pictures, names of everyone that died since 1990. And there was 108 people. 108 people. Last year they buried a little over 20 people in 1 year. Elder told me it would be rare when they were growing up, or one person would die. Because everyone used to live their lives. You know, death was only every couple of years. Even as a kid, I remember one of our people dying, and then not seeing another funeral for a couple of years. And then I had to go to another funeral as a kid. I was sad again. And now as an adult, we're doing this on a monthly basis. On a monthly basis, we're burying our people. That's totally wrong. There's only 1,200 people left in Chip. There's only 1,200 in population. How long until they all have to die? Pretty soon, is this going to be a dead zone? There's going to be nobody there. They're just basically going to be sacrificed. Sacrifice for the world economy. Sacrifice for the military. The U.S. military, they're consuming half the oil that they get. I don't know where else I can say and go from this, except that I hope that everyone who hears this can tell someone that there's an issue going on. And if you don't wake up to it, you're better off dead. Because in the long run, you will be dead because of this. I know if that river flowed south, it'd be different. A different issue. People in Edmonton were all dying. All of a sudden, it'd be an epidemic. An epidemic would happen if people are dying here from cancer because of what they're producing. And how long would the city let their own people die? Especially from something that's given them money. They'll probably allow it. In the last year, a year ago, there wasn't too many people that really believed in what we were doing. And some still don't. We voted in our First Nations to have a judicial review against provincial government for not consulting with us when they're handing out these new leases. When we speak to industry points back and say, well, the government allowed us. We're doing this under their laws, so we're okay to do it. And now, I'm getting lost for words because it's starting to get emotional for me, and it's really hard. It's really hard to do this. And I just have to say that I don't want to do this. I don't want to have to come here and tell you that I'm faced with genocide, that it's happening within our own country, slow industrial genocide. Canada, where I live, is the edge of the shield. Fort Chip lives on the edge of the shield in the Canadian region. And in battle, shields are used to protect yourself. So all I can do now is take my message and hopefully with that message be a sword so I can use it to spread the message to other people else. Hopefully, when it comes back, as a shield will be used to protect the people. Hopefully, we can live a little bit longer. And when I heard a long time ago saying, you know, don't have children anymore, because they're going to be faced with a very bleak future. But I read in the Bible that children is God's way of that the world should go on. And I believe that. And I want to stop having kids. I'm pretty sure a lot of you don't want to. But we're all faced with extinction. This thing boils down to extinction. All around, all the mines, all the places, it's this extinction we're facing. And it's sorry to say that I have to go and say this again, that I don't want to be doing this, but I have to. And if I can change just one mind at a time, then by all means, I'm doing my job. I'm doing my job as I can before it's too late, before I'm the one that's being buried, being put in that ground because of this. Thank you.